Just gone 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Hello, this is Darren. Over the next hour, we're going to be talking to Joe Harrison, the CEO of Milton Keynes Hospital. Find out all the latest information about COVID here in Milton Keynes and exactly what's going on at Milton Keynes Hospital. Over the last few days and weeks, you don't need me to tell you, a lot of people are quite sceptical of what they're reading tonight. We're going to try and squash some of those myths and find out what's going on at our hospital here in Milton Keynes. Loads of you have been asking questions via our website, mkfm.com. If for some reason we don't cover your question tonight, all of your questions have been passed over to Joe and his team at Milton Keynes Hospital.
MKFM.
So this evening we have Joe Harrison on the phone, who is the CEO of Milton Keynes University Hospital. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad. More importantly, how are you and the team at the hospital?
We're okay, thank you for asking. And we're coping. It's been a very, very busy period over the last several weeks. And unfortunately, it's probably going to get a little bit busier still. But the team here is coping and they're doing a fantastic job.
Brilliant. So I saw you on the TV last night and you're expecting things to get worse over the coming weeks.
That's right. We've had a look at the national position and there's been some work done locally to see what we can expect to be coming through to the hospital. And the expectation is the numbers of patients who are getting sick with COVID is going to continue to increase over the next week. In some respects, it's helpful to know because we're obviously planning for those increases and making sure that we've got capacity in the hospital and the staffing to look after our patients. It's obviously always disappointing when we're planning to have more sick people coming into our hospital, but that's the situation at the moment.
I would normally ask you this at the end of the interview, but as some people might drift off as we go through the interview, what can people do at the moment to help you and the team? Is it as simple as staying indoors and trying to avoid this awful disease?
It absolutely is about washing your hands, about staying indoors, staying apart from other people and looking after yourself, taking sensible measures as per the government guidelines. It is as simple and as important as that.
Just stay at home and just avoid contact with everyone else.
That's right, yes.
Okay, if someone is ill at home with COVID at the moment, what should they be trying to do to avoid getting to the stage where they need hospital care? Is there things that they can do at home?
Well, the first thing to do is to get a test and understand whether it is COVID or not. What we saw in the first wave, unfortunately, were lots of people staying at home who had treatable conditions that weren't COVID. So it is important to understand whether the symptoms that people are displaying are COVID or not. It's really, really important to seek medical attention if it's required. So that's dialing 111 if the symptoms aren't particularly severe, or if the patient or individual is really, really struggling. Absolutely. Don't be afraid to dial 999. We are busy. Of course we're busy. But our business is to look after people and save lives, and we don't want people suffering and dying at home without having the opportunity to seek attention.
I know it's difficult, but what stage should people be phoning 999? Is it when they're really struggling to breathe?
So it is, say, first port of call is normally 111 when you've got early symptoms, and also, as I say, getting a test to understand whether it is COVID or not, and tests are readily available in Milton Keynes. If the patient or individual is really suffering, then absolutely dial 999. And it's one of those difficult questions where one person's shortness of breath is another person's really struggling to breathe. So there isn't any precise moment where we can say, pick up the phone and dial 999. It's all about the individual and how they feel.
And is there much truth about lying on your front actually helps?
We do know that for the most seriously ill individuals now, that we do lie those patients on their front in critical care particularly. And it does show that it does help in the individual's ability to breathe. I don't think it's right for people to get too into the sort of self-diagnosis at home. But as I say, I think that it is important to understand whether if a person has symptoms to get tested, understand whether it's COVID, and then go from there.
And 111 is the first point.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. Whenever we publish numbers on our news pages and on social media, a lot of people don't really trust the numbers, and obviously people look at numbers in different ways. So I wondered if maybe we could have a look at the numbers for December at the hospital, and I wondered if maybe you could tell us, first of all, how many COVID patients were actually admitted in December?
So what we do is we have a rolling number of patients that we look at. The statistics that we look at is on a daily basis, and then we have an accumulation of numbers as they come through. And I'm just having a quick check for December, and what we see in the last 28 days, that's our sort of normal cutoff, in the last 28 days, we've had 566 patients come through our hospital with COVID.
So is that actually people admitted, or does that include people that have unfortunately caught COVID at the hospital?
So the incidence of individuals catching COVID within the hospital are relatively rare. So when I look at that number of 560, we know that during that period of time, we've only had about 11 people actually catch COVID within the hospital. One of the challenges with this virus is that a patient can be tested in the emergency department and show negative, and then 4 or 5 days later, we test patients routinely in our hospital. 4 or 5 days later, they can show as being positive. And the patient and their family quite often will say to me, my father, my son has caught COVID in your hospital. The nature of the virus is that it sometimes and quite often doesn't present for a number of days. So the patient will have symptoms, they'll get admitted, and quite often the test initially will come back negative and then come back positive. And that is a real challenge.
So out of the 500 on your rolling 28 days, what are the numbers showing as regards to the amount of people that have passed away during that time?
During that period of time, we have had about 80 of those individuals unfortunately die. So in the last 2 months, we have had 150 people die of COVID in our hospital. And in the last 28 days, that number is 80.
That's awful. And I know that speaking to you during the first wave, the actual percentage of people that was passing away was a lot higher.
So what we're seeing is because more people are getting tested, the numbers of people dying relative to the numbers of people being tested is a lot less. What's interesting for Milton Keynes Hospital, and you can see it in the national figures, in the first wave, we had 104 people die in this hospital. Throughout this second wave now, we are already up to 144. More people die in this second wave than we have in the first wave.
That's frightening. And as regards as today, Joe, what is the current situation at the hospital as regards as how many wards are full with COVID patients versus the total hospital capacity?
We've got 230 patients who are positive in our organisation at the moment. Our critical care is completely full of COVID patients. And what we do is we've had to extend our critical care already. We've got plans to further extend it as and when the numbers of patients needing critical care increase. So we had to do that in wave one. We're having to do it again in wave two. Obviously, the more you extend critical care, the more pressure that puts onto the staff having to look after these very sick patients. And so we're increasing. We've already increased once, and we're looking to increase again. But 230 patients at the moment who are confirmed positive, that equates to around about 60% of all of the usable beds that we have in the hospital. And if I give you a sense of what that means, we have had to cancel all of our planned routine operations, and that's the sort of pressure that the organisation is under at the moment.
And was it a case that the hospital was still catching up on routine operations from the first wave?
It is. We absolutely are trying to get rid of the backlog from the first wave. So all of these numbers that I talk about, they are all patients. They're all individuals, whether it's people waiting for an operation, whether it's an individual who is sick in one of the beds here in the hospital. It's very easy just to see these numbers as figures on a page. They all mean, every single number means something to someone. And I know that there are a significant number of people in Milton Keynes and the surrounding areas waiting for planned operations in the hospital that we can't currently do because we have so many COVID positive patients in.
So unless it's urgent, what do you think the average delay will be? Is it 12 months, 18 months?
At the moment, we have got a couple of hundred patients who are waiting over a year for an operation. Nationally, you'll see that number has skyrocketed. So we have been doing relatively well locally in trying to keep waiting times down. And it all depends on the urgency of the procedure, and it also depends upon the specialty that is looking after the individual patient. So those waiting times do vary considerably.
And I guess with a dedicated cancer facility now, I guess that's not being affected as much as what it would have been without it?
We have been able to keep the cancer centre open, and we have been carrying out urgent cancer operations and using the cancer centre to look after those patients. That has been a real positive in this second wave that we weren't able to do in the first wave as well. So that has helped. And again, I would urge people who are listening to this, we know that in the first wave, a lot of people didn't present to hospital who had treatable conditions because they were scared of COVID. We are still open. We are still treating emergency and urgent patients who don't have COVID. So if you do have symptoms, please, please phone 111, present at the emergency department, and we will look after you.
A lot more to get through tonight. We've also had loads of questions about how many children have been admitted to Milton Keynes Hospital with COVID-19. And also a little bit later on, we're going to find out what's happening with flu this year. We'll get into all that next.
MKFM.
Just the flu. You hear people say every year, but if you have a chronic lung condition like COPD, bronchitis, emphysema, or asthma, there's no just about it. Flu is a virus that can cause serious complications for you. That's why we give you the flu jab free. It's your very best protection. Ask your pharmacist or GP today. NHS. We're here to help you protect against flu. Help us. Help you.
As a window, I sometimes feel ignored. I don't want to sound uppity, but I'm a T&K window, not some drafty oink. I'm a triple glazed, warm, secure, energy saving stunner installed by a team that is 98% recommended on Which Trust a Trader. And at tkhi.co.uk, I'm discounted by up to 50% through January using code MKFM. All that, and not so much as a morning, beautiful. I promised I wouldn't cry.
T&K Home Improvements, taking fitting quality windows personally.
We need proper coffee, but we have to seek it out, walk or drive or actually work for it, when all we really want is the coffee in the hand with minimal effort. Luckily, that's just what Really Awesome Coffee MK do. Deliver their uniquely blended 100% Arabica coffees right to you, wherever you are, along with hot chocolate, milkshakes, muffins, and all with free delivery, no matter the size of the order. Make good things come to you. Type Really Awesome Coffee Milton Keynes into Facebook to get involved today.
MKFM.
Supported by our principal partners, including Hughes Metrics. Run your whole business on one cloud-based software service to increase profit and scale up. MKFM.
Wednesday night across Milton Keynes, we're talking to Professor Joe Harrison. He's the CEO of Milton Keynes Hospital. So, Joe, then there's been a number of reports about the amount of children that have been admitted to hospital with COVID-19.
There's an interesting situation. So the simple answer to that is very, very few children have come through and had to be admitted for COVID. I know that there was a media story a couple of weeks ago. Milton Keynes nationally has seen very, very few children being admitted for COVID. And I'm talking about the fingers on my hand rather than tens or hundreds. It really is a very small amount. Children have not been as badly affected as adults when they've had COVID for the most part.
So literally the cases are few and far between as regards as children being admitted.
They are. I mean, it's always unfortunate when we have to admit a child for anything, but in particular COVID. But those numbers at this hospital and nationally have been relatively small, which is positive.
Good news. And when we look at those 230 odd people that are currently admitted in hospital, what's the age range of them at the moment?
Again, it varies considerably. You said you'd seen the news last night that showed the story of the pregnant lady who had COVID, who was unfortunately had to be admitted to our critical care unit. And it showed another 46-year-old man who had been within our critical care unit. Both of them, delighted to say it, obviously on the road to recovery. But the age range, unlike those sort of wave one early reports, the age range is very spread. And most people will know that the population of Milton Keynes is relatively younger compared to the rest of the country. Our hospital is full of patients of all ages with COVID. So it is important. And so with a small exception of children where we've had very, very few come through, thankfully.
So versus wave one, do you think the average age is younger than what it was first time around?
I don't have that information to hand, Darren. I do know that we have all age groups in the hospital, as I say, sort of 16, 18 and above. And that spread is very much there. COVID does impact disproportionately on the elderly, and we know that. But as I say, this is a big but. You know, one of the comments that really stuck with me yesterday from the new mum with her twins was, "I never thought I would get COVID," and this was a fit, healthy individual who ended up in our critical care unit. And that's not a one off. We have a number of individuals that unfortunately have been in that situation.
Yeah, and I would say that anyone that missed the report last night on Channel 4, they should find that on our website or on YouTube itself. It was fascinating, Joe, last night watching that and quite educational at the same time, because as you say, many people just don't believe that they're going to get it. And there's a fine example there, someone pregnant with twins and at the end of the day admitted and not able to see her babies for a week, I think it was, after they were born.
That's absolutely right. Anybody can get COVID. It doesn't differentiate between health, wealth, happiness. Anybody can get COVID. We know that and we've seen it play out. And unfortunately, we're in a situation whereby people still don't think it will happen to them. Unfortunately, it absolutely can do, and it can have catastrophic outcomes. So it really is important that your listeners take appropriate precautions.
I was looking at a story over Christmas, and I said to the team, we need to double-check these numbers. But I was quite surprised that there's only 9 ICU beds. Is that 9 ICU beds for COVID?
But what we do is we flex our ICU capacity depending upon how busy the unit is and how many patients need critical care. And for Milton Keynes Hospital, we routinely run between 6 and 7 level 3 beds, and level 3 being the sickest. At the moment, we have 10 beds open, and we have capacity to go up higher if we need them. And whilst that doesn't sound a lot, if you think routinely, we normally have 6 or 7 beds open, and those aren't always full. It's not healthy to run a unit at 100% capacity, because if there's suddenly a big road traffic accident in Milton Keynes and somebody needs critical care, we need to make sure that there is an empty bed for them to come into. So we are very stretched at the moment. We have got the capacity to expand a little bit further if we need it. I come back to having the availability of staff to look after those patients appropriately, and that's the limiting factor.
But even if it was 20 beds, Joe, would that be enough when you look at what's likely to happen over the next few weeks?
One of the challenges is critical care doesn't necessarily make you better. And I know that's an obvious thing to say, but going into a critical care unit doesn't necessarily make you better. And so the clinical decision-making about who needs to go into the intensive care unit, who needs that level of support, we will continue to flex capacity based upon the needs of the individual patients. That's the first thing. Second thing to say is that since wave one, the way of managing and looking after very sick patients, our knowledge about the virus clinically has improved significantly. And so a lot more patients are being given oxygen and high flow oxygen, so really concentrated oxygen, and you don't need to be in critical care to receive that treatment. And that quite often is the best treatment for a number of our patients. So in wave one, a lot of patients were transferred into the critical care unit because it was thought that that was the best way to look after them. Our knowledge and understanding of that has improved significantly now, and we're managing a lot more patients outside of critical care than we would have done in wave one.
And compared to one of the worst flu seasons that you might have experienced, how does this compare?
That's a great question. At no point in my career have we ever had anything like the numbers of patients with flu as we have with COVID. At no point in my career have we had anything like the mortality rate or death rate that we have with COVID compared with flu. So we're seeing significantly increased volumes of patients coming through compared to a normal flu season, and we're seeing significantly more people unfortunately dying because of this than we've ever seen from a flu season.
And what has happened with flu this year?
Interestingly, there has been very, very little flu come through this year. We know that the vaccination program nationally has gone very well, and there have been very few instances of flu coming through, which is great news. I don't know whether people, the whole keeping your hands sanitized and wearing face masks, I think has been really, really powerful in terms of preventing the spread of other viruses like flu, but we've certainly seen very little come through so far.
So this year it's been fairly non-existent, would that be fair to say?
I think we have seen very, very little. There will always be the exception to that, but from a national perspective, the flu numbers have been very, very small compared to what we would normally expect to see.
Yeah,
and just, Milton Keynes, and seen very few.
And just going back on what you said just a couple of minutes ago, we really need to get the point out there that the hospital is busier at the moment than your typical flu season, because a lot of people are saying that the hospital isn't as full as it normally is. There isn't any flu this year. But again, maybe just repeat what you said just now, Joe.
I have to laugh at that, because that is just absolutely ridiculous, Darren. You're right to highlight it. The staff are on their knees. Most people in this organisation have been working full on since February. And the capacity in the hospital in terms of numbers of patients hasn't been as high as this ever, in terms of the numbers of physical patients that we're actually looking after. People are, for some reason, believing that this is a made-up pressure. It is absolutely soul-destroying to the team here at Milton Keynes Hospital, who have been coming in every day, 7 days a week for months, to look after people who are incredibly unwell, some of whom are unfortunately dying, to hear stories that this is made up or it's not true or we're making it out worse than it would appear. It is just rubbish, and I think that it is totally disrespectful, and I'm really pleased that you highlighted that, Darren, because it's upsetting to hear that.
And why are we talking about the staff? How are they coping with dealing with so much death?
It's a really challenging environment. Whenever there is a major incident, normally what happens is that people get through it, and there's then an opportunity to have a a discussion about it and to work out what we could have done better, how it impacted on individuals. This has been running for months now. And what we're seeing is not just the general fatigue of people not being able to have any time off because we're so busy, but also the emotional fatigue of having to be in a situation whereby people are dying, people are very, very sick. And within Milton Keynes, we are a community. So these aren't quite often strangers that are passing away. These are people who are friends, family, people we know, and that takes an intolerable toll on not just the staff here, but looking at Will and Hospice, looking at the community services. We've been at this for months, and so yes, it is really, really hard. We're trying to support our staff in the best possible way that we can. We're asking teams here for ideas about what else we can do, and we'll continue to do that because we have absolute respect for the team here, and we want to make sure that every person is fit and able to do the best possible job that they can.
So there's a lot of work going in to keep the morale up and obviously the mental health of the staff. What other provisions are being made at the moment versus maybe the first wave when it comes to staff? Because I guess you've got a number of staff that are off sick at the moment with COVID themselves.
We have. We've got, on any one day, we've got anywhere between 250 and 300 members of staff off sick or self-isolating. And that's obviously a huge number of people who aren't able to work for completely valid reasons. And so a lot of things that we're trying to do is across a whole range of areas. If you're at home, how do you keep in contact with the organisation? How do you know what's going on? How do we keep everybody informed in the organisation about what's happening? How do we look after them, whether it's mental health dropping clinics, whether it's heads up on what's coming in terms of health and wellbeing events that we're planning, all of that just to make sure that individuals and teams feel valued for the work that they're doing. And that's why when we read and hear stories that this isn't as bad as it is, it's so upsetting for the team.
Yeah. I bet it is. And at least tonight, you're talking to our audience, and hopefully we can help improve that situation. All right, we're going to find out about the vaccine rollout in Milton Keynes. We'll get into that next.
MKFM.
5 more minutes. It was New Year's Eve and Mum was calling us inside. I went to run through an open gate when it swung towards me. The metal latch of the gate hit me in the chest. It was so painful. I struggled to breathe. When I looked down, I saw that I was really badly injured.
It doesn't matter whether it's Christmas Day or New Year's Eve. Accidents happen 365 days of the year. With your support, Thames Valley Air Ambulance will always be here to reach patients like Lucy with life-saving care whenever they need it. To find out what happened to Lucy, visit mkfm.com/Lucy.
Hello, it's me. Sometimes using a main dealer for servicing might feel like you've been punched somewhere unpleasant. If you drive a VW, Audi, Seat or Skoda, I know a fully dealer-trained specialist who will save you lots of money. Inditech are the specialist in servicing, repairs and diagnostics. So not only do they know their stuff, they can save you up to 50% of main dealer prices without affecting your warranty, which is nice. Book now on 01908 648 740. That's 648 740. Inditech, where people in the know go.
Live unfiltered beers brewed in Milton Keynes using organic grains and no added sugars. Available now from Buckstar Beer for home delivery. Find out more at buckinghamshirebeer.co.uk or visit the brewery shop and tap house at Unit 17, Twizzle Close, Stonebridge, off V6 Grafton Street. Find us on Facebook and Instagram too. Buckstar Beer. Always drink responsibly.
We are being asked to wear face coverings and use hand sanitizer as part of the new normal. Play it safe and give yourself total peace of mind. Take the necessary steps to protect your business, staff and customers. mkppe.co.uk has a wide range of PPE, including 20 3-ply disposable face coverings for just £10 and 5 bottles of hand sanitizer, also just £10. To see our full range and to order for next day delivery, visit mkppe.co.uk. ukppe.co.uk.
MKFM.
Wednesday evening, it's an MKFM news special. We're speaking to Joe Harrison, the CEO of Mills and Keynes Hospital. Thank you for staying with us, Joe. We obviously hear about the amount of cases and the amount of deaths. We don't really hear too much about the amount of people that have recovered. Do you think that, do you think that's something that should be reported a bit more?
Yes, and so in our organisation, we know that in the last 28 days or so, we've had several hundred people who have recovered and gone home. Some of them have got lasting health conditions because of COVID. Your listeners may have heard of long COVID and the impact that that has on individuals. And so we know that there are lots and lots of people that do survive COVID. I think the challenge that we have is balancing that good news with making sure that people do take this virus seriously.
And I guess that's the thing, because when you look at the number of people that have unfortunately died, it's the people that survive with long-lasting health conditions because of COVID.
Yes, that's right. So two things from a health perspective. Absolutely, if you survive, then it may not just be a case of getting back to normal. We know that there are real issues with a number of people who have had COVID. I think the second thing, and we touched on this earlier on, which is the fewer people that we can have getting COVID, then the more likely we are to be able to reopen and get on with the business of treating planned elective operations, routine operations, to get the general health of Milton Keynes and the surrounding areas back up to where we want it to be. So it's a double whammy at the moment. If our beds are full, not only are we looking after sick COVID patients who may go on to develop long-term problems, but it's also stopping us from being able to look after other patients in the way that we would like to.
And as regards as those long-term effects of COVID, apart from the lungs, what are the other?
So there's all sorts of challenges with people's immune systems, but particularly, as you say, the breathing difficulties is the key thing. As more and more research is done, we will find out more and more about the long-term conditions and long-term impact of this.
Okay. And last time, during the first wave, we spoke a lot about PPE and the equipment that the hospital had. Obviously, the situation with PPE has got a lot better. Is there anything else that the hospital is lacking at the moment, maybe apart from staff?
PPE is certainly, we're in a situation whereby that is available. And thank you to all your listeners who, when they have had to come into hospital, they've been wearing the appropriate face masks and coverings to make sure that people are taking precautions. So that's good news. You're right. We are always in a situation throughout this process of wanting to try and get hold of as many appropriately trained staff as we possibly can do. And we haven't been in a situation yet whereby we have had unsafe staffing levels, which is a very positive place to be. We're not at the end of it yet. So we're not counting any chickens there. So absolutely, staffing is an area that we continually focus on. I think that's the main issue for us. We haven't got shortages of equipment or indeed physical capacity. We still have the physical capacity to look after patients as we need to.
Which is good news versus the first wave.
It is, absolutely. And Milton Keynes Hospital, because of the developments that we've put in place over the last number of years, we have got sufficient physical capacity to treat the patients that are coming through the door as emergencies at the moment.
And just before we move on to talking about the vaccine, what's the position at the moment as regards as patients being able to bring a loved one or a companion with them?
We really do want to make sure that the footfall in the hospital is kept to a minimum. So we are asking for people not to visit patients in hospital. The only real exceptions to that are in relation to maternity, where we do have birth partners coming in at appropriate times, and also for the unfortunate situation of a patient's end of life, where we do enable a loved one to say goodbye to their family member. So I think it is very, very limited at the moment. When you look at the geographical map of Milton Keynes, the highest number of patients, the highest number of people with COVID are within the hospital footprint, which is why we don't want people to come to the hospital unless they really need to and are seeking urgent medical.
And that's the same with outpatients as well. The best bet is to come on their own.
Absolutely, yes. So there is one other exception where we do enable those patients who have particular special needs in relation to support. We do, on an exception basis, allow an individual to come in to help and support that individual. So that's something that we learned from wave one, which is that there are patients who are particularly vulnerable that we do need to ensure have some form of support when they come into hospital.
Okay, let's move on to the vaccine then, Joe. Maybe you can run us through what's happening with the vaccine in Milton Keynes.
We were lucky enough to be one of the first centres in the country to start the vaccination process, and we have vaccinated over 6,500 people now in Milton Keynes, which is great. It's not just Milton Keynes, but the surrounding areas. We were given the Pfizer vaccine when it first came out, which at the time was set out to have two vaccination doses within 35 days. That advice changed just before the new year from the government to say that we should be giving first doses of the Pfizer vaccine to as many people as we possibly could do, and that the second vaccine dose could be delivered within 12 weeks. So what we've done is, for those individuals that had a second vaccination booked in January and February, we've postponed those and are saying to individuals, we will get back in contact with you by the middle of February to arrange that second dose. It is important people have the second dose, it's just that the timeframes nationally have changed.
And Pfizer have actually said that the second dose can be up to 12 weeks, or is it the government that's saying that?
So we're following the Chief Medical Officer's advice nationally and the advice of the Four Nations Medical Directors. And as a hospital chief exec, I absolutely rely upon the professional advice that comes down from the Chief Medical Officer, the Chief Nursing Officer, and to make sure that clinically we are doing what is required of us. So that's why I know many of your listeners will be upset that they haven't yet had the second vaccination dose. They will be getting it. It will just take a few more weeks because we're vaccinating more people with that first dose.
And as regards as the wider rollout, Joe, in Milton Keynes, have you been privy to much of the plans for that?
Yes, all of the primary care networks are now up and running with vaccinations in this week, which is great news. My expectation is that we will start to vaccinate the over 75s from this week onwards. If you recall that we were vaccinating the over 80s, I think because of the sterling work that everybody's done so far, we are already starting to look at the over 75s. We're also vaccinating health and care staff across Milton Keynes so that we can ensure that we have enough staff to look after people when they do get sick, and that's ongoing at the moment. So I think we are doing well. We want to get it out as fast as we possibly can. We have had no adverse reactions to the vaccine here at the hospital at all, which is great news. And I would urge all of your listeners, as and when they have the opportunity to get the vaccine, to head straight there and get it done as quickly as possible.
And do you think COVID will be the new flu season? Because there's some talk yesterday that we might face restrictions going into next winter. So do you think the vaccine will get us to the point where we just don't need to worry about COVID anymore? Or do you think it will be reoccurring as we approach winter?
It's probably too early to say just yet. What we're seeing is variants coming out. So we've seen the variant that's hit the UK. We've seen another variant being identified in South Africa. I think the science will determine whether this is a one-off vaccination process or whether we have to go through something similar every year like we do with flu.
Okay, Jay. And for anyone that's missed the first part of this interview today, what is your main message for people here in Milton Keynes?
Anybody can catch COVID. We have, unfortunately, already had a total of 257 people die in our hospital with COVID. Please look after yourselves, look after your family. Make sure you follow the government advice of hands, face, space. Don't mix with people as per those national guidelines. And please look after yourselves and we will get through this.
Joe Harrison, CEO of Milton Keynes Hospital, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Big thanks to Joe Harrison for spending the time with us this evening. We are planning a follow-up session with Joe, so any remaining questions that you don't feel that we've answered tonight, you can pop them on our Facebook page or email us news@mcafm.com, and we will be having a follow-up session with Joe Harrison shortly. We do have another MCAFM news special tomorrow following the sentencing of five people over the murders of Dom Ampson and Ben Gillam Rice. You can read all